gozaimasu. Hello, it is the standard, the conversation, the blueprint, the CEO, Mercedes Money. And you are listening to Mangu Kon Salami podcast. So make sure you join and listen to it weekly.
All right, this is Roberto. You are back with a final season finale for Mangu Kon Salami. I am with the crew from Young Voices. Young Voices, please say what's up to the world.
What's up?
We also have, as always, when we're talking Mangu Kon Salami, we can't have a conversation about healthy relationships with me because I don't know shit. I was actually born into terrible relationships. My mom, my dad, my brother, his wife. Like, I've owned my grandma, right? I've only my uncle and his, like, 7 or 8 wives by now. I don't know what number he's on. I've only known relationships to be broken and to not work. I can talk about Spider-Man all day long. I could talk about video games all day long. But healthy relationships?
No.
This is why I reached out to the Katie Brown Educational Program. And they have been nice enough to join us for these conversations because this is what they do. So we have Mandy with us. Hi, Mandy.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right. Like, so how would you categorize when I say this is what they do? And I've been using, I phrase it a lot as, I know there's a lot of domestic violence prevention in your work and a lot of other things, but I've been framing it as healthy relationships. How would you categorize what you do?
I usually say relationship violence prevention, which in my mind means two things. Like, one,
preventing relationships.
Well, yeah, exactly. No more relationships off the table. But really thinking about, like, when you're in relationships or even getting to know someone, what are those red flags, those warning signs of when you might be in an unhealthy or unsafe situation? But the other flip side, talking about how, like, just because I work there doesn't mean that I'm an expert myself. Thinking about relationships you've had in the past, times where you might have acted up and not acted accordingly, catching yourself in those moments when you're in conflict with someone, you know, like, how are you handling that? Are you using violence to get power control? And if you are, how do we correct those behaviors?
As we warm up, I love all the hand movements. People at home can't see, but you are Eminem rapping with the hand movements. What, you mentioned red flags. What would you list as a red flag? What's your red flag in a relationship?
Definitely, and I don't know if you guys want to weigh in either, but definitely for me, it's sometimes it can be very subtle. Acts of control. Someone trying to kind of control who you're going out with, who you're with, what you can and can't do. I feel like that's sometimes some of the telltale signs when someone is trying to get power and control over you. And I can't emphasize enough, a lot of the time they can be subtle, kind of little like here and there that build up over time where you start to feel like, unfortunately, a smaller version of yourself.
What are your red flags?
Just peer pressuring.
Peer pressure.
What?
Okay. Do you see that a lot? Is that a thing that comes up?
Well, have you guys heard of, like, coercion? Like, basically you're not forcing someone or, like, threatening someone into something they don't want to do, but you're basically making someone feel, like, guilty or weird about saying no to a certain situation. So for sure, yeah.
Coercion's out. It's a red flag. Homework, what's your red flag?
Probably, like, people who, like gaslighting at store.
Okay. Can you define gaslighting for us?
Yes. I think gaslighting is fascinating. Not like I'm like, yeah, gaslighting is great and
yeah,
awesome.
Gaslighting.
Woohoo. But just like a fun fact, so that term actually came from, I know, like, the whole back lore. It's this old stage play. It was later made to a black and white movie called Gaslight. And what happens, there's a lot of gaslighting, surprise, spoiler alert, in the film itself. But one of the major ones is that the husband, throughout the entire film, there's a husband and wife, and he's dimming all the gas lights in the house. For our listeners at home, I'm making a motion where I'm turning a knob and dimming those old school gas lights that used to be in houses. And what's happening is the wife is kind of looking around being like, hey, are the lights dimmer in here? I'm having trouble seeing. I'm having trouble reading the mail in front of my face. What's going on? Did you change the lights? And the husband's like, what are you talking about? The lights have always been this bright. Are you sure you're feeling okay? You kind of sound crazy. Maybe we should call the doctor. To the point where the wife actually, by the end of the film, starts to think she's going blind. So, like, very literal example of gaslighting right there, when you're basically not only lying to someone, but making them doubt their own reality, which is a lot of complex manipulation, kind of psychological warfare there.
I didn't know where you were going with that. I was wondering if that was going to be confusing, mixing the real, the terminology, and it was really... It illustrated it really nice. That was well put. Thank you. Ash, what would you say is your red flag?
I like what she said, but also
I'm not sure. There's a lot. But I can't, like, put one.
Too many red flags.
Too many red flags. I'm, like, thinking of one person.
Yeah.
There's too many red flags that, like...
No, that you have within yourself, right?
No, it's just, like, with anything.
Oh, with anything?
Like, what's a red flag you see someone else, maybe yourself, too? Like, a general red flag.
Lying to the point where you don't really need to lie about things.
Mm.
Like, you know, when people lie about random things.
Have you heard of that one story that's going around on TikTok? The woman?
Oh, like, that, who the fuck did I marry?
Yeah. Who the fuck did I marry?
I'm like halfway through the lore.
Story called Who the Fuck Did I Marry? She married a man. He kept on lying about getting her house.
Wait.
They did multiple house, like 25 visits to houses. Then started with cars. Same weekends. She got pregnant. She got a miscarriage. Yeah. Oh, she got a miscarriage, and then close your ears real good. Mm. I don't want to spoil you. Then to the end, she finds out he was taking his twin brother's identity, like using his, like every little thing that he was talking about to her was a lie. He would go on phone calls with his family that he's close with, but it would be 40-minute phone calls with himself, like just on the phone, and he's like actually having conversations. And it was like a relationship from COVID to like basically now when she's coming out. Wow. That blows my mind. Yeah. Wow.
It reminds me of like catfish stories.
They got like engaged like 3 months into the relationship because she allowed him to go in the house when it was like COVID. Because they're like, oh, I don't think you really have a place to live yet. You could just stay with me until you find somewhere else to go. And he just lied to her about multiple things to the point where she was doubting herself too. It was really bad.
That's wild.
Yeah.
My GF lives on Reddit. What's interesting about that is that all those people make me look good when they have all those stories. Because I'm like,
asshole.
I'm like, see, I'm over here yelling at a 12-year-old in Rocket League. That's not that bad. What's your red flag?
I think like someone constantly putting you down.
Now, why would somebody do that? It doesn't seem like, I'm asking Mandy, it doesn't seem like a good tactic in a relationship. It doesn't seem like that's something that's going to get you the girl of your dreams, but that is something that people do. Why do people do that?
And it's interesting too, thinking about like where people pick up these habits. Is it completely a conscious action? But yeah, unfortunately, a lot of times in relationships like that, it's someone who's basically trying to lower that person's self-esteem to be better able to control them at the end of the day. And it might just be, you know, like, I don't know how else to kind of get my point across. So I need to say something insulting or make fun of this person. There's definitely that fine line between when someone is, you know, like maybe you're close enough to that person to joke around with them, roast them, tease them. But it definitely hits different if you've communicated like, hey, you know, by the way, this is one of my insecurities. This is a trigger of mine. They take that information and weaponize it against you instead of being supportive about it.
Are you relating to that?
Yes. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
You want to say more?
Oh, yeah. I'll talk about it. I think I'm not saying this for myself, but apparently I have a long face. And this person would, like, constantly bash me about my long chin. I would tell him that it hurts my feelings. Then he would still do it. And compare me to other black male artists that I barely even look like Ken Carson or who else?
Is this person black?
DaBaby. No.
So there's a non-black person telling you about black people that you look like?
He'll call me Negro, but also play it off like he's saying the Spanish word.
Is this like one of those like white passing Latinos who, okay.
He's Puerto Rican, but.
I'm sorry for my people.
Yeah, for real. Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
He doesn't speak Spanish.
It reminds me that show Love is Blind. There was somebody who was just a complete asshole on the show. This dude's a complete asshole. And he's this dorky white country dude. And there was this black girl from Boston. And I think she was a cheerleader.
Yeah.
They had kind of a thing. And when she talked about it and what an a-hole he was, everybody's like, why are you into him? And she was like, I don't know. I always think I could fix people. And she continued to be into him. With the idea of I can fix him. You can weigh in on fixing people. What's your red flag?
I would say someone like who doesn't communicate. Like if something like bad happened, they don't tell you how they feel.
Can anybody else here relate to some of these things and be like, yo, I might be kind of guilty a little bit of some of that?
Oh, I thought...
Like on that end. Because I think about some of these things, right? And I think about... When I think about that, right? Like I think about like, what's my excuse for acting in that way? What's my excuse for being controlled? My excuse for being controlling is my home is super safe. Everybody outside my home is an asshole, as all of you know. Right? Like maybe stay in. Stay in is cool, right? Because it's nice in here. I'm not really trying to be controlling. It's definitely not even a jealousy thing. A lot of times it's a safety thing. But I can relate to like a lot of these, and I think about these things, a lot of these little red flags. And it makes me think that, because nobody thinks they're a bad guy, but maybe I am a bad guy. Maybe there's a slippery slope, and maybe there's a blurry line between where we're coming from and some of these behaviors. My student, Udalen, at one of these schools, she's on the leadership team with you for this other thing, so you're going to meet her next week. We were talking about sharing passwords, and she was the one who was like, but my heart's been broken so many times. I don't trust people. I need the password. She's not a bad person. We understand that it's an unhealthy behavior, but I also understand that she's not a bad person. So if you're listening at home, or if you're one of the people in this room and you can relate to some of these things, we're just saying these are things that you can grow from and do better. Eurissa, what's a red flag for you? I met your boyfriend and he's the loveliest. He's the sweetest man.
He's the sweetest.
Fiance. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Oh, I just like, I've been like, I feel like everybody's heard it ever. Not like my fiance, or not say, because it's just like, I'm so happy about it. But yeah, no, he's the absolute sweetest. So I lucked out. But I feel like I've like, and also like to your point, I think that there are times where even I notice like, okay, am I doing a behavior because of like maybe like a past trauma? And so, like, for me, I think it's quick to anger, which I know is something that I, like, even me, like, I'm working on, right? And I've, like, was able to work on it a lot in the past, like, 2-3 years, and especially after I left, like, a very toxic, bad relationship. But, you know, it was, like, it's something that I had to unlearn because it was, like, a defense almost that I was able to put up because this other person who also might have gone through his own, you know, I'm the type of person, like, wish you best. I hope you are doing better than you were before, but if I caught him lying, or like maybe he was being like, for me, cheating's, I feel like cheating's like, I, it depends on how people think, but for me, like, cheating's very much like a red flag, a thing that I'm like,
that's not a deal breaker.
It's a big deal breaker to me. Well, some people are like, no, you know, maybe I can rekindle this, or maybe I can
I can fix this behavior is what some people think of their partner.
Yeah, or like some people are also like, you know, like, you know, we can kind of move past it, or like maybe they're comfortable with like having open relationships. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's people out there, you know, and I don't want to like think that. But for me, like, cheating is a really big like no-go, or like, yeah. And I have a very, I feel like maybe not too broad, but like, you know, like for me, that's including like, you know, even if you're not doing anything, like if you're flirting online and stuff like that, like, yeah. My fiance has not done any of this. I just want to put that out there. king, true king. But yeah, if I say something like, oh, like, this is my boundary, and then they'd be like, nah, I'm going to be mad about shit. I'm going to be upset with you. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a lot of detail. I apologize.
It's really nice when you start dating someone where, even though both of you might have like stuff from not even just like past dating relationships, but also like the household you grew up in, like all of those kind of habits that we learn over time as we're growing up. It's nice to be able to be with someone who's like, all right, we can sense that we're reacting this way. Let's, you know, take it a step back and kind of work through it together. And being able to have those open kind of communication is so great.
Wait, hold on. For clarity, because you're asking the question, we're not asking what red flags we bring to the table. We're asking what do we see in a relationship that if we see a behavior, we're thinking, I don't know if I want to be with this person because of this behavior. So that's how we're looking at a red flag. A red flag in this context is if you're in a relationship with somebody, they come home smelling like, let's say perfume. I don't want to make it like gendered or anything. But let's say, just for example, they come home smelling like perfume, and you're like, that's a red flag to me. Why do you so often come home smelling? Why do you so often have stripper dust on you, like the glitter thing? Like, that would be like a red flag. What's something in a relationship that you won't stand for that you think that would make you suspicious and make you think, I don't know if this is a healthy relationship?
Obsessiveness.
Now, can that be like somebody who is like love bombing you obsessively?
Yeah. And I would also say like constantly near me, because in a relationship, I feel like there's us and there's you need to be your own person, right? I don't like it when people copy every single thing about me, whether it be like my favorite food, like they steal my clothes and just wear them and pretend to be me. Like that's, or like start like, you know, carrying my things, or like, you know, I'm very individualistic, if that's the right word. So I don't really like it when like, I mean, I do now because I'm, you know, I'm working on it, trying to work for myself. But I used to despise it when, like, my boyfriend held my stuff or he opened the door for me. I'm like, I couldn't do it my fucking self. And I got really quick to, like, get mad at him. He did admit to me that, like, there was a point where he was borderline stalking me.
Who is
Some people use that term playfully, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, I looked at your Facebook or whatever. I looked at your, not Facebook, I forgot who I'm talking to. I looked at your Instagram before, you know, before we started talking to learn more about you. I was stalking you, you know what I mean? And they're like, teehee. Now, are we talking about like in that?
Following me home.
See, yeah, that seems a little bit different. We're talking about following you home. Obsessiveness. So little notes for Mandy. Little notes for Mandy, because we're going to circle back in a second. I want to check in with one more student, and then we're going to circle back. But love bombing and obsessiveness.
Yes.
So the conversation right now is red flag. What's a red flag for you in a relationship?
Then I'm going to talk from what I've seen. Parents' relationship. I don't, what's that word? Like, I guess, patriotically, machismo. I hate that. Machismo? Like, machismo. Like, my stepfather is, he's, like, very much traditional man. Like, he's such an absent father. But then if we don't do stuff the exact way that he wants it, or we just do something he doesn't like, he suddenly, oh, hey, what you doing? I'm the man of this house. I'm the man of this house. I'm the one that makes the rules around here. And I'm just like, you haven't been the man of this house since you entered this house. What are you talking about?
First, like, I love the Spanglish that's happening in this room. It's not the first time.
But, like, it gets me so mad. And, like, my mom keeps always saying, no, he's my, but you know, he never had, like, a great, like, parental figure from his dad. He doesn't really know how to parent. Like, that's not an excuse. Yeah. Okay? One time she suggested that I start like try to talk about my feelings with him and have conversations and stuff. And I remember this one time we were in the kitchen and he told me something really rudely. I forgot what it was. And I was like, hey, dad, can you like not say that? It's kind of, it makes me feel bad. So he turned around, grabbed me by my arm, pulled me. He was like, the little man, I see. He almost hit me up by the nose. I was scared of my fucking life. Excuse for my language. But I hate men like that. And I don't know why my mom sees in him. Don't be toxic, guys. It's dumb. Like, you're ridiculing yourself. You're going to end up in a home or in jail. Like, why, what you doing this for? You're not that guy.
I heard a couple of different things, right? I heard, like, at first, it sounded like we were talking about some toxic masculinity, which...
I'm an expert.
So, yeah, might be. One of the students that we know in common and traveled with recently... on the podcast talked about how their dad doesn't do dishes. Their dad won't do dishes in the house because that's not a man's work, right? So that would be like toxic masculinity. But where you ended up was more on, it sounds kind of like bordering on a little bit of abusive.
Yeah, abusive. I'm going to work on that with my mom. I'm like, mommy, that's not love. And she's like, yeah, but you know, your father. I'm like, mommy, that man doesn't love you or his kids. Like, let's leave. And she's like, yeah, but then they're going to go CPS. And they're going to take you away from me. And I'm like, mommy, get it through your head. This is not good for you. We're working on that.
I said offline before we started, I talk about Spider-Man all day long. I talk about video games all day long.
I love Spider-Man.
This is where I'd love to pivot the conversation to other things that I had planned for today. But this is why we brought Mandy in. This is why we bring the Katie Brown Educational Program in. And they've been great help. So I know we talked about obsessiveness, love bombing, toxic masculinity, and maybe a little bit of abuse. What are your thoughts on that? I know that's a lot that we're throwing on you, Mandy. But where do you want to start? Is there anything that sounds like, okay, first of all, you should know this, and this is who to contact, and this you can. This is one way to start healing? Or do you want to get into definition, context?
All of those were like great examples, too. And even just because that's at the forefront of my mind, even thinking about not only just toxic masculinity, but even just gendered roles in general, like it even affects same-sex relationships. Thinking about how like this kind of like, because of the way our society was structured for so long, it almost does feel like there's like this pull, like, okay, this is the man's role, this is the woman's role, and that's how responsibilities, chores, even power and control are supposed to be divvied up accordingly. And unfortunately, that does, you know, put a lot of pressure on men to, like, how do you get power within your household? Is that violence? Is, you know, how do you communicate your needs or what you want from other people?
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You didn't say anybody was being knocked on their ass or hit across the face, but you mentioned violence.
Mm.
Can you have violence without a physical altercation?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's verbal violence. Gaslighting would be a great example of emotional violence and, of course, sexual violence as well. Definitely violence can come in a lot of forms. It's really just anytime someone's like intentionally hurting someone or making someone afraid. Doesn't have to be physical, but it could definitely be with words. It can definitely be with words that are meant to hurt someone, like on purpose.
Do you remember earlier I said there's like a gray line? You have something to add?
Yeah.
Please do.
Okay, for the like the power gender roles, even for like same sex. Recently I seen on TikTok, you know how there's masculine women,
yeah,
and there's feminine women in the LGBTQ community, mostly in the lesbian community. For some reason, studs, lesbians, wearing makeup or wearing feminine clothing when they already presented as masculine is gay. But, like, you're in a relationship with a woman. You're not a man. You are a woman. So, like, why are you guys calling yourself gay when you are a woman?
What?
They're like there's homophobic lesbians.
What?
Like when masculine lesbians try to present feminine.
Oh.
When they're like really masked. Which is, they see themselves as men. Yes. And there's some other feminine lesbians that only like masculine lesbians. There's no problem in that.
Yeah.
But they see them as a man.
Like, they treat them like a man. Like, they'll them
money. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. My dad, my boyfriend, like, they even call them daddy.
Yes. But what's really interesting that you're thinking, like, it's
that.
Well, I want to take their brains and just study. I'm very into, like, the study of people, psychology, all that stuff. That sounds very interesting.
Yeah, I was like, that's saw that on TikTok. I was like, wow.
So, like, all right, so let me get this straight. There's somebody who is gay, feminine,
mm-hmm.
presenting woman, and she's in a relationship
with a mass presenting
right. And woman. If one day the feminine presenting woman, please correct me if I'm using terminology wrong or harmful, and then one day the feminine presenting one acts a little bit more macho, mm-hmm. the other one would be like, yo, you're being gay.
Yeah, they don't like when two studs, wouldn't it be two masculines.
Like double gay?
It's double
gay.
They made yeah. I don't know. They mapped. They've really
mapped itself.
They have heteronormative labels.
Yes, that. Yeah. So it's pretty annoying.
Yeah.
They don't. They like when two feminine women are together, which also plays into the history of sexualization in lesbians.
Yeah.
But they don't like two masculine presenting women being together when they're both. Those two couples are still both women.
The title of this podcast is now Steambox and Young Voices Are Double Gay. That's the title of this podcast. I want to put a pin here and return to that in just a second, because that takes us to our main topic. And I know we're way late for starting our main topic, but I thought there was something important that I wanted to. I was talking about a blurry line. I was talking about a blurry line between some of the things that we're talking about is unhealthy, and we would consider people who are doing those things as bad people.
Yeah.
But with our own behaviors, sometimes there's a blurry line, because it might start with, if we're talking about coercion, for example, and that's here. We all know coercion, right? We all know what that looks like. And it could be, you know, extreme coercion or even just manipulation coercion. But what about if it starts here and it's just, as a teenager, my hormones are going nuts. And it's like, yo, mommy, give me a kiss. What's up? Like, where does that cross the line and turn me into a bad person? And we don't really think it's a bad person, but I'm saying, I just for safety and for all of us here and people who are listening, like, because we agree that coercion is bad. We agree that manipulation is bad. But if I'm in a relationship with somebody and I'm dating them and my hormones are requiring like touchy kissy in this moment, where does that go from my hormones and my natural state of being to I have now crossed the line? And I do think there is an example I would love for you to cut. Yes.
I feel like when it comes to hormones, all that stuff, that's normal. But you should be able to communicate it with your partner and be sure that boundaries are made in relationships so that you don't, because I feel like if boundaries aren't made, you're going to step over it, and then you're not even going to know that you stepped over it, and then that's going to become an issue. And then, like
so many romance novels have taught us, miscommunication is the death of a relationship.
I feel like that's why it's good to talk before, not like before you guys start dating, but like in like the very first stages of dating, because then like when you just bring it up randomly, it's kind of like, oh, so I've been doing this whole time, and like you didn't tell me.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Definitely talking about things like expectations early on in the relationship too. Yeah, definitely. In terms of just like communicating about this stuff, super important. But also when you do realize you've crossed that line, you know, whether it was hormone related or not, if your partner's like, hey, you know what, that makes me feel uncomfortable, I don't like when you say that, our answer shouldn't be, well, you know, the hormones, and kind of just like steamrolling over what they're trying to say to you in that moment. Yeah, you know, like, obviously, like, we might have to work on our feelings, controlling those emotions. I don't think it's ever about, like, pretending you don't have emotions or feelings, but it's more about, all right, I'm feeling some sort of way. How do I control this? How do I work with my partner on it together?
Your feelings do not define you or control you. Like, there, you can definitely, like, I guess, make decisions and do things without being completely influenced by your hormones, or, like, in spite of that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can feel horny and not make dumb decisions.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, before I switch back to Adi's point and get into the double gay conversation, I want to make sure we don't leave anything hanging here. And I can relate to you so much on some of the things that you talked about. And maybe my dad was like that really early on, but he evolved, thankfully. But I saw a lot of behaviors from my mom that were really like scary and toxic to me. So if I'm currently in a family like that as a teenager, what would you say? Because again, people listed, you know, child protective services and all these things that we don't want in our lives. So where do we start? What's a nice place to start that's not going to cause harm or chaos to the family?
I would say that even just reaching out to those around you, whether you, if you have like a great like friend, like network that you could reach out to, but even just a trusted adult is always a great place to start, because I think like sometimes those adults can help you basically kind of put yourself in the situation where you, you know, like if you feel like you're in danger or not, sometimes an adult can help you make that decision. Point being that, you know, like I would just say, start reaching out and being like, hey, is this normal? Is this not normal? I don't know. Do you guys feel like at school there is a trusted adult like that? You guys to reach out to?
No.
At school?
His brother.
Okay.
My brother is listed. That's interesting.
I think now they're finally talking about teenage depression in school. And they're finally asking kids if they do feel, like, confidentially.
Yeah.
And, like, telling people to go see the school therapist. They just started like today. I've been at this school for like 3 years. Never in my life in health class we've learned about teen depression, and today they started it.
Yeah. No, that's great that finally people are starting to have like,
yeah,
like not today.
Just any resources.
Last week, I believe,
We did a little like
watch a couple of videos and did like a little course on suicide and the prevention, stuff like that.
Yeah,
it was a little cringy, and a lot of the kids in my class complained, but I was like, it was pretty nice that they like at least like talked about it and stuff like that. But I think that like discourages a lot of students from talking out or thinking about their situations, whether it be depression, suicide, or other things, is that school staff, counselors, and people like that are like required to be reporters, you know? And in a lot of situations, like, they have to tell their parents. And that could make things worse.
Right.
You know, I've had friends in middle school who, when they spoke out, their parents knew about this, and it just made everything worse, just because a lot of times parents are directly linked to that trauma or that terrible mental state.
I will never forget, Yarissa talked about when I left Inspiring Minds and started Steambox. I'll never forget, in one of my first years, there was a student there named Lewis, and his family was going through some stuff. And he came to me after school, and he was visibly upset. He was like bawling, not just crying. Mm-hmm. He was like bawling. I remember thinking, I'm not qualified for this. And I didn't really know much about, I hadn't really worked in the schools that directly, especially with high schools. So I said, okay, I'm going to go get Miss D'Antuano. I'm going to go get the guidance counselor, and I'll put them together and be like, oh, how can we help this student? And then they called like five other people. And then next thing you know, the student was at a table like this with like 12 adults surrounding them, like interrogating him with what's wrong with him.
That's so, it's so intimidating.
I learned in that moment that I'm not asking the school's help for stuff like that anymore, which is sad, because like one of the reasons Mandy's here is we should have support networks. Another conversation I had recently, and as much as I defend Infante Green and feel like a lot of the shit that she gets is we wouldn't give to a... We had the same problems before in Providence schools, but when we had white man commissioners, they never came at his neck. Never, ever, ever. They've never talked shit about any of the white man commissioners like we've talked about Infante Green. But let me also throw some shade, because when I asked Commissioner Green and said, I think we need a wellness support at every single school. It shouldn't be my brother's job. He does esports over there, and he's like a clerk for guidance. That's not his job. That's not his strength. We should have a wellness expert in every single school. And her response to me was, I think those things are important, and that's why we have guidance counselors. And I was dropping F-bombs. At that point.
People go to their guidance counselors for college.
For exactly.
You go to a guidance counselor for guidance. You don't go to a guidance counselor to get mental health.
I wish the guidance counselors knew you so well that they can give you those supports. And ideally, they would be able to. But right now, they're so busy with the standardized testing and all the bullshit that you guys got to do. The last thing that they're doing is actual guidance. Steambox is double gay. We're coming back in seconds. All right, so I wanted to start with this, but the conversation took a lot of turns, but they were really beautiful turns, right? Like, not only are they beautiful for people in this room, but I think for people outside, again, some of my students just yesterday was talking about how important it is to hear these things that they think they're weird on, but to hear these things from other people. So a lot of these conversations, forgive me if it's making a long podcast, but I let these conversations go for that reason. I think it's really helpful to a lot of people. Another conversation that I thought was really helpful is some of the people in this room are leading our Joyful Rebellion event on May 4th. So two of the people in this room I took to Las Vegas. The idea was we wanted to hear from people that we hadn't heard from before. So we plan on interviewing people on an indigenous tribe. We plan on interviewing ASL students, American Sign Language.
Thank you.
And we also talked about West Coast students. And the ASL lady never got back to me. Indigenous ones did, so we're working on a date. But I said, you know what I could do in the meantime? I could buy airplane tickets, and we could go fly to Las Vegas and talk to some, you know, some students.
I thought you were going to say we're going to meet our friends again.
Now, I didn't tell you this, but I asked for not a high achieving school. I wanted a school with like just the real students from around there.
Yeah.
And we had a conversation about mental wellness, and it ties into Mangu Konsalami in a minute. But is there anything that you want to say about those conversations that we had?
Like the first school, even though like me and Ash were like extremely impressed because like it's a big school. And we come from really small schools. Not only that, but their concerns are, me personally, I could immediately tell, like, their concern isn't, like, getting robbed or, like, molested by a crackhead at KP. Their concern is getting full-on kidnapped and trafficked.
It's, like, to another extent than what we expect from here.
Yeah.
We're all aware of human trafficking. We know it happens. We know it happens here.
But it's, like, less likely. The other things that it's we're worrying about. It's normal
there, right?
Yeah, it's normal there. And, it's like, as soon as we got there, on we went to the bathroom. The bathroom posters advertising is stop sex trafficking, call if child abuse,
Cause like me and Ari, we went to the bathroom before our plane, right?
Which one? The Rhode Island?
The Rhode Island one. Rhode Island. It was like 2024 award so for awesome. Best airport. I was like, oh, ain't that cute? And we were talking about like, oh my god, this airport bathroom is amazing. Look at the marble. Oh my god, those are real flowers. Like, it was all pretty.
And it was really,
and
like,
then
awesome.
A complete change, just like bizarro, just like opposite everything.
It was still like a pretty nice bathroom.
The airport was like,
that I saw piss on the floor.
Oh, never mind.
Toilets. It smelled really bad. It smelled raggedy.
I felt so bad. Those students, it broke my heart a little bit because you guys were talking about snowball fights and they were like, we've never seen snow.
Oh, yeah.
But they also have mountains outside of their schools. They've never seen the ocean, but they've got these huge football fields in their schools.
I was like, what am I seeing right now? You just see hills and hills of mountains outside of their school.
And another thing that I found really interesting was, we went to the esports school.
Yeah.
Like, they're dealing with a lot of the same things that we are, because that conversation was specifically around esports, and they did not know how misogynist they were. Like, just not,
oh my God.
Not different from here. But it was a group of around 20 students. How many
mostly
of them?
Mostly were boys.
18 of them were boys. There were two girls. Someone said three.
There was one
was behind Andrea.
I didn't see her.
So I didn't see her at first either. So they talked about how welcoming they are to girls. But I was like, your own girl just said that, like, it's kind
of
toxic.
And, like, some of the things that they were saying was also implying, like,
and not all of them, by the way.
Yeah, some of them. There were some that are really open. But there's that one guy.
I don't want to name him.
He's young.
But you know.
But hopefully he can grow from this. Yeah. Because this was a group of all girls traveling there. And telling him, look, bro, what you think this is welcoming, this ain't it. Like, do better.
And then me and Bree weren't talking most of the time because it's not that, because they were mostly talking about gaming. Yeah. I know gaming. It's just, I felt really uncomfortable.
Save. I wanted to tell them, hey, I'm the manager of the esports team too. My team is mostly boys, but they're decently welcoming. And I've been trying to recruit more girls, and I've been trying to, like, I don't know, yassify, like, not our room because like, they smell.
You want in on the esports?
Does your school have esports?
No.
What school are you at?
Alvarez.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Shout out to Alvarez, my old school where I hate on them all of them.
But yes, I remember.
Not the students, I promise.
I don't like his face. I specifically asked, like, the misogyny guy, like, what would happen if a girl came in here and, like, completely, like, pinks out this entire place. Because if you saw this place, it literally looks like a boy hangout. Literally.
I'm gonna, we're gonna save that because we have that podcast. Please listen to that when that comes out. Our Joyful Rebellion series comes out in May. But do check that out for everything that you heard here. Another conversation that we had there, though, in Vegas was offline when we were talking with this group. And I found it really interesting. I always find it really interesting because it's one of those things that I don't want to be the obnoxious dude who has no idea what we're talking about. Joyful Rebellion, that's why I'm bringing in young therapists. Mm-hmm. Mangu Kon Salami, this is why I'm bringing in the Katie Brown Educational Program to talk about healthy relationships. But I've never identified as gay in any way, right? I understand there's like a spectrum and blah, blah, blah. And I'm probably like way too much on the like just like heteronormative area of the spectrum to know what I'm talking about. But Steambox has always been mad gay, right? Like, so many of my students, right, like, identify that way. And it makes me feel good because as welcoming as that boy thought he was to the girl, like, it makes me feel good that people feel comfortable being themselves in Steambox. But on the other hand, I want to make sure that I can open the door for any of those conversations to continue to grow. And we talked about coming out stories. Mm-hmm. We talked about how we identified. And I wanted to be able to have that conversation with you guys so that if...
That you don't really have to feel pressured to come out. Yeah. You could just... Nobody needs to hear your... Like, how you identify with yourself. Like, you should just, like, identify to yourself. Like, you should know who you are before you tell other people what you think. And, or you don't, like... Okay.
Is it scary?
Yeah, it is scary when you come out. And obviously, you should not come out when you feel like you're not in a safe environment. Like, if you don't have a place to go, if that said parent or whoever you're coming out to, like, shuts you out or even kicks you out. I just feel some people really don't, like, I think, nobody has to come out. Because do you hear straight people coming out? Like, why do we have to come out and let other people know what we identify with if straight people won't do that?
Yeah.
Cis people.
I use the term heteronormative, right? With mm-hmm. norm right in there. Like, the norm. I'm normal. I'm not, like, you weirdo.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the...
Like, that's so weird. Like, that's why I'm like, I would tell someone of... Like, what I identify with if they ask, like, a simple question. But it's like, I'm not going to tell you if I really don't know you. Like, what are you going to say?
What did you want to add?
Well, I was going to say, like, just because you come up... just because you come out to one person doesn't mean they have to come out to, like, every single...
Yeah.
...and can, like, encounter. Because you don't know how some people are going to react. Because I feel like a lot of people, like... They're like, oh, like, I'm an ally, until they actually meet someone who's actually, like, on the spectrum, and they suddenly get all weirded out about it, and, like, they just start making, like, gay jokes, like, towards you, they start making gay jokes just, like, around you, and, like, they somehow make it where they can bring it up in, like, every single conversation that you have. You want other people that you haven't even came out to either.
Yeah, that's weird.
Man, fake allies.
Yeah, I've heard about that a lot. Bunch of fake allies. Or everything.
I have a question. Do you guys feel like sometimes people say things trying to be an ally, but it comes off the wrong way? It kind of makes you feel weirder.
Yeah. Especially like a lot in Paris. I mean, not mine, but like a lot of your...
Yeah, mine.
Yeah.
My mom.
She'll like say like, oh, I'm not homophobic. And then continue saying something homophobic.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's
both. Yeah, yeah.
Then someone says, oh, not except all gay people. And then says,
and they'd be like, oh, I'm not racist. And then he says something racist. And they're like, mommy, you can't say
Mostly it's a bad person.
No, but it's not.
Right. I'm like, no, it's like, really.
Like, what my mom says, she likes to see she was talking about this with me the other day. She's like, yeah, I like gay people, but I only like the lesbians. I don't like seeing two men.
When you see two women on the street walking with their hands held, like, you're not gonna say that they're dating. They could just be girl best friends.
I'm like, that's not the point.
The point. Oh my god. And she's like, yeah, okay. I'm not gonna say the point. What she says, she's like, yeah, I would. Something with a woman, but and then she's like, but I don't see marrying her. And I was like, yeah, but with me, I see marrying woman or marrying someone who's non-binary.
Yeah,
like, and then she's like, yeah, but like they shouldn't. Like,
girl, bro.
Like I have a friend who, like, her mom, she was like accepting, like, she accepted her sexuality, but like it's like once she like. No, like when she found out that she was lesbian, it's like every single girl that she's friends with, who she's genuinely friends with, she'd be like, oh, we're dating her, right? Or like, oh, like I saw like a cute girl like in the Walmart, like you should totally date her. Like they think that like they'll be attracted to every single girl that they lay their eyes on. Like they act like girls from middle school when like they find out that you're gay.
Oh my god, do I have a crush on me?
Yeah,
and the way I had, bro, multiple girls in my school that I was friends with, they all said that to me, and they were like. At the time, I was dating my best friend, and then they're like, I'm gonna steal you from them.
I have to avoid going to salon.
Is that common? Do you feel like people start treating you differently as if you're
first? That's why I left that school. I left that
school. I had to avoid going to the locker room because girls will accuse me of like looking at them all dirty.
This is why I only come out with you guys. I mean,
I didn't even come out with
you. I didn't doubt justice. Oh my God.
No, they assumed when I was
that stage.
You were flirting with all of us.
What is that?
And I thought I was like...
When you had a costume change in between every class?
Yes. When they thought... Well, when I thought I was straight, they immediately assumed I was gay.
Because
the way I act.
No, it was because you would flirt with every one of us in the friend group.
No. I just like you guys.
I told somebody in my UCAP group was dating like three people in a...
That... They're in your mind right now.
Me? That was dating me.
That was dating...
That was dating Luby. That was dating this other person called...
All together.
What?
Bro. It was a polyamorous relationship. But then it did because you're like, we're just friends. We're just friends. But then I still continued to date Pat and they were like, we're just friends.
I've heard multiple things. I want to be able to talk about all of these things for the benefit of our audience. Boys with boys is more frowned upon than girls with girls.
Yeah, that's because of the sex.
The lesbians have been sexualized.
Yeah, on porn websites and.
You see,
I thought like lesbians was guys who like girls.
No, but like it was media.
Yeah, it was media that made it like that. I was like,
oh my god, wet dream.
Yeah.
Wait, what is this?
She said.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, and they can. That's how sexy
you are. Why
don't? Sorry, something.
And no, we're not bad. We're just like, no, we're telling you, like, yeah, it's
because a lot of men like they.
Wait, I'm a man. You don't need to tell me.
Like
three sons like this.
Oh, back off.
The
meme. I already told you I'm weird into
like Weeknd
costume.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I think costume is a cute. That's my jam.
The Weeknd's music videos, he would have two girls in the background kissing.
Yeah,
it's just really weird. Like I remember being on the school bus and everybody's like, "Yeah, I'm gay because I like boys," and it'd just be girls saying that. Like that's what I thought. Like what?
Can we pause? I love the dialogue. I really do, but I also want to be able to break some of it down. Is it true? They seem to back it up. They seem to have a lot of evidence. Is it true that women, gay women, are more socially accepted than gay men?
Yeah.
Just to say, it's so interesting to hear this because I do agree with you. I think it's changed now as like a society. But I remember when I was growing up in the early aughts, in high school, it was the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, the first rendition of that show had just come out. So we finally had, like, gay guys in the media. And it was, like, one type of gay guy, standard issue. You know, like, very much all the stereotypical mannerisms, the hair that was, like, in a point at the top. You know, like, frosted tips, like, that kind of stylized gay person. If you were that, you were okay. Anything else, it didn't matter because you're not gay, clearly, if you don't look like this exact kind of stereotypical gay guy. Girls, on the other hand, weren't in the media whatsoever. Yeah. So at my point, when I was in high school, there was no gay girls because there wasn't any media representation at that time before since the L word and just started to come out. But even then, very problematic show in those kind of earlier seasons, too. Interesting, though, to see how that's changed and even thinking about how I would say I think culture is a big part here, too. When we think about what would a couple finds threatening, like I even have friends who like, let's say the girl is bi and she's talking to me about her boyfriend and she's saying, well, you know, like my boyfriend really doesn't like when I hang out with other guys like by myself, but like he knows that I like girls, but like he doesn't mind the girl. And I'm like, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Are you saying that that's not a real relationship in your boyfriend's eyes?
And this is new for my boyfriend as well. I'm like, you know, I can always like cheat on me with a girl, but he's like, nah, I don't mind that.
Question. In terms of hetero relationships, are you less likely to get upset about your partner with somebody of the hanging out with somebody of the same sex?
I think it's like,
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't get
it. But at the same time, sometimes it's like, it depends like what type of setting you are in.
Yeah.
I think. Like, are you...
Context is very important.
Like, yeah. Are you hanging out with one girl or one guy? Or are you hanging out with a group of girls and a group of guys?
What's the difference?
There's a difference. Like, if you're like, I don't know. I feel like when you're hanging out one-on-one with a girl or a guy, because it doesn't matter. If you are bisexual and you're hanging out one-on-one with a girl or a guy, I expect you to tell me, like, what are you going to do with them?
Yeah.
And all that stuff. But if it's, like, with your group of friends, I already know your friends.
Are there things that make you feel less comfortable?
Yeah, I feel like... I don't know how to explain it.
They're going to go to a comedy show at the Comedy Connection.
No, that's just nerd stuff. See, so that's like, cool. Yeah. That's cool. But, like, if they're going to, like, maybe a cafe... Or, like, they're going skating.
It's very
one-on-one.
Yeah,
very... Like, there's a difference from, like, skating with, like, your...
Very intimate.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, I don't know if I should be saying this, but for his birthday, my friends know, he posted it. He went to the strip club.
Yeah.
That's why I put skull emojis in the...
And then my sister texted me. She's like, he have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Let me give you some context. His sister, his stepbrother, his sister, Haiti, by the way.
Man.
His stepbrother and his cousins, like, they all forced him to. And he called me before and, like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm not touching anything. Hell, I'll like, zip tie myself if I have to. And then, like, he calls me afterwards. He's like, yo, it was just, he was giggling the entire time. He wasn't high. He didn't drink anything. He was just giggling because he thought it was so funny that people like this. He was like the entire time I was just thinking of you. I was like never attracted to any of these women. I was just thinking of you and how much I miss.
Does it make a difference that he told you?
I would say so, yeah. Because he reassured me, like what he told me where he was going with, who he was going. He told me, he called me right as soon as he got home. He called me, tell me what happened.
Can you speak on the idea of coming out safety? I'm sorry that I didn't follow up on that. Coming out safety, because that's something that we talked about. And I know that we're wrapping up and we've only got a few minutes left. One, I found it really interesting that Adi said that you should feel comfortable coming out. And my eyebrows raised because I was like, wow, is that really safe? But then Adi circled all the way around to like under certain conditions. Like if your parents aren't going to murder you.
And then because, like you don't have to come out if you don't want to. You could just be who you are with yourself.
What would you say to that? And do you have any helpful advice or tips for young people that want to come or any people that want to come out?
I think someone recently said this to me, which I thought was cool. If you think about the first person that you come out to is yourself. So one, being nice to yourself, just be, you know, giving yourself grace and realizing that it's okay as you're having these kind of like brain clicking, like everything coming together moments. It's okay if you don't have it all figured out. It's okay if it doesn't make sense. And yeah, also just remembering that safety, I think, is above all else when it comes to coming out. If you don't feel like you're in a supportive household or a safe situation or a group of people to come out with, you don't have to come out. And that doesn't make you any less whatever identity that you have. Thinking about like... even you, if you come out to friends, I think part of being an ally is, you know, like if you tell them like, hey, I came out to you, but I'm not comfortable being out to anyone else. Hopefully a good friend, a good ally will respect that. You can very well come out to certain groups of people, but you could also still be in the closet at home. It doesn't have to be it all at once. Like you don't have to broadcast it or post it. It's really at your discretion and what you think is safe. I would even say that if you are worried that maybe it could be a dangerous situation at home, like getting kicked out, make sure you have kind of like a safety plan almost in place. You know, like worst case scenario, if this happens, who can I call? Where can I go?
I was going to mention that earlier because I know my aunt will my mother never hears this. He like one day.
I'm going to the corner. to this corner.
Yes.
We've heard a lot. What are some of your thoughts?
I'm like.
Yeah, on any of this. It doesn't matter where you land, where you fall. I was just curious about some of your thoughts.
I don't think I'll ever come out to my mom just because I'm worried on how she will take it. And because of like how I said, she says she's not homophobic and then continues to say she's not homophobic. So like if I ever have a girlfriend and I'll be like, hey, this happens to be my girlfriend, maybe. I don't know. I haven't thought about it, but maybe I'll tell her.
So you know your mom has homophobic tendencies. Is there any zone that's a safety zone for your life, let's say into adulthood or into adulthood with a career where you feel safe, like, okay, a homophobe is a homophobe, but I can still be me. And then do you think there'll ever be a point? You said never, so you already answered it, but I'm just circling back.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe eventually she'll get better. And because I have been trying to like tell her like, hey, this isn't really like nice of you to say. Mm-hmm. Like, what if one of my friends were like gay or something? Which like my whole friend group is.
She just does not know.
She does not know.
Do you ever think like way in the future, your mom might be the trigger warning? You just because it's the future and of old age, 120, and she's on her deathbed. And then you're by her side, and now you're 80 years old. And then you whisper into her ear,
I've been gay. Oh, that's what I'm going to do.
Uno reverse. Your mom actually says, I've been gay. I've had a relationship
to you. The best part of my time. I was playing it off this whole time.
Yes.
I was trying to converse myself.
What were some of your thoughts? I'm not fishing for gayness, by the way. I'm not trying to be like, hey, tell me about how you're gay. That's not what I'm doing. I don't really. I promise.
I think most of my family is like kind of like suspicious. Yeah. Like my sister knows. What else? And like it's really confusing because my mom is just like hers. Like, she says she's not homophobic, but then she says like something completely out of pocket, which is weird. And then like, I don't know, I think, because, like, when we're talking about, like, relationships sometimes, she brings in, like, because she also doesn't know I'm trans, so she's, like, assuming, like, if I were gay, like, I would be with a girl, right? So she would bring in, like, if you ever have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, so that makes me, like, confused. Like, maybe she would be supportive, but I don't know about, like, the trans part. Because, like, it's, like, she always seeing me as her daughter, but, like, I don't know if I'll ever, like, tell her that. And, like, you know?
What do we got for advice? What is Katie Brown? Katie Brown's dead, so Katie Brown's not saying anything here. Yeah. I'm not making fun of Katie Brown. She died under horrible circumstances, and I'm definitely going to delete this from the editing. But what would a representative from the Katie Brown educational program say about the idea of coming out for two people who've listed very good reasons why they're not comfortable coming out, but for two young people who you and I also want to see be comfortable being themselves?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I feel like, unfortunately, like even coming out as trans can be a little bit more harrowing because absolutely your parents could very often be like, oh, like, you know, like I love watching like RuPaul's Drag Race. You might have all this evidence of them being supportive of the LGBTQ, but are they supportive of that trans element? So that can be complicated. And I think sometimes just trusting your gut, I think sometimes we know if someone might be accepting, but like maybe not super PC about it, as opposed to, you know, like this is an issue for us and our family. Maybe even sometimes like throwing out some fishing lines kind of, I think someone already was saying, you know, like, oh, like my friend is trans. Oh. Like, you know, kind of like just like engaging for our listeners to know about, you know, kind of like just giving them the eyes and kind of reading their reactions and seeing, you know, like, is like, what are their thoughts? Without kind of necessarily exposing or giving away your own position.
I'm going to come back to you in just 1 second so you can tell the world where they can find out more about the Katie Brown Educational Program and how they can access you guys and contact you guys for their questions or whether or not it's just in school. A few more people. I know we've got adults in the room. I know we've got program directors here. I want to say that the moment that I realized that because I'm that parent, right? I am a parent. And the question used to be, right, when I was a kid, the question used to be, like, what people would ask their peers is, like, yo, what would you do if you had a kid and found out your son was gay?
Oh, yes.
That, like, so that that was... No. We've already established it's okay if it's a gay daughter, if your son is gay, right? Then now that's a problem. Probably in Latino toxic masculinity. I'm happy that I feel like the world has evolved somewhat, even though we all agree that not enough. But something that I'm so, so proud of is that moment that I realized that Steambox is super gay. And today I realized that Steambox is gay squared and Young Voices is gay plus.
Yeah.
I'm really proud that the environment is open for students to come in and just be themselves and have these conversations. What's that been like for you guys? And is there anything that you want to add to the conversation before we wrap up?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's such a great thing. People are like, oh, it's like, it's so gay. I love it. And it's like, yeah, like, that's awesome. Just like, I'm glad that everyone can see like Steambox, Young Voices, or any other program to be like, I can be here and be myself and be safe.
Be here and be weird.
That's not ironically, and like, that's like, that's so cool. Like, I love that.
I love how I cannot say that.
Oh, I'm all talking. Well, I gotta go. Bye.
I love that it's even the opposite too. Like, the opposite is also true, where
okay, yeah, I should be.
We'll have some students who will have like some racial things to say sometimes. It doesn't matter what color, right? It could be a black as black student have some like really interesting thoughts on race, or like whether or not we should speak Spanish in the U.S. I'm happy that they can be here and learn from these conversations as well. Because I do believe that resolution is important for the conflicts, right? I think conflict is important if we can get to resolution. So what did you have something to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say how, like, even though it sounds like I can't be, like, fully myself with my moral, I like how I can, like, have a community, which is, like, Young Voices and my friends. And I just think that's really great to, like, have, like, a community.
Shout out to Young Voices. Shout out to Steambox. And with Mangukon Salami, our partner is the Katie Brown Educational Program. Mandy, where can people learn more about the Katie Brown Educational Program?
I mean, we have a website, kbep.org, but we're on Instagram. So it's the hashtag the_KBEP. And we just posted a lot of stuff on there for Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. So if you like infographs, if you want to know more about...
Everybody loves been talking teenagers about infographs.
Yeah, or just like just in a nice visual summary of some of the cause stuff that we've talked about, examples of things. Yeah, that's the place to check it out, I'd say.
Is that a place where, whether or not it currently exists, is that a place where people can reach out and be like, hey, I'm going through this thing?
It's interesting because, like, I wouldn't say that we're by all means any kind of like outreach or helpline, yep, or something like that. But honestly, if we're thinking about like LGBTQ, I was just looking. There's this this website. It's called qspacechat.org, and it's basically this curated place where you can talk to other LGBTQ youth online. And there's actually facilitators within those chats, so you don't have to worry about trolls or people being inappropriate about it.
Does anybody have anything else gay to say before we wrap up the podcast? Does anybody want to out-gay anything that's been...
She died.
Yeah, she died.
Bye.
Oh, he died.
The woman who sang that died.
Yeah, I was saying. She was really funny.
Women.
Yay women.
Yay women. And John always was like, gay women.
We all agree.
Women's murder.
This has been another Steambox Young Voices team up. This is the season finale. Young Voices, Steambox, Katie Brown. Can you please say peace out to the world?
Peace out.